It's showtime.
Conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 11th day of March, 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. It's also the best way to go about getting the live stream, HeadOn.live. It's also where we keep the chat room part. If you've never been there before, try it out. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password. Jump right in. Anatole and Squeaky are waiting for you, as am I. Anatole asking, I take it you haven't succumbed to the coronavirus yet, Bob? No, this program is live. This is happening almost even as you're hearing it. Once you factor in the 20 or 30 seconds of internet-based latency. Yeah, I'm rat cheer. Yep. And, of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different this evening. And so thanks go out to our subscribers for the 11th day of the month. That would be John and Christopher, Tony and Chico, Paul from Parts Unknown, and Brother Deacon Gerald, in charge of the Building and Grounds Committee here at the Cathedral of Common Sense. Because that's the other part. It's Wednesday. Yes. That holiest of days here on the Horn schedule. I have a feeling a lot of real church services will be taking place similar here in the fairly near future. Cancellations taking place all over the country. It has just been announced. I saw it earlier today. The NCAA basketball tournaments will be held in empty gymnasiums as a result of the coronavirus outbreak. The Washington Post having published that, about 13 minutes or so ago. Yep. There's going to be some disruption of our daily lives, considerable disruption. And I don't know of any other way to try to mitigate the spread of this nightmare disease. It's getting weird in D.C. It's getting weird everywhere. And Agnes and I were talking, and I think we're just about at that point where we're going to cave up here for a while. Because, again, those states that say they have no cases, they have cases. They just haven't been reported because they haven't been tested for. And remember, West Virginia in particular, well, we've got a governor. Our state's only billionaire. And the only things he cares about are his beloved coal industry. golf and girls basketball. So, yeah, there's not a lot of reason to feel good about this place in particular. Agnes had a doctor's appointment earlier today, so we went to lunch after that, and I said, this will probably be our last time dining out for a while, I suspect. The economic impacts are going to be brutal. I heard from our dear friend Chris in Germany. Stuttgart has canceled its beer fest, and they'll probably be canceled all over Germany. And it may put the beer festival business and the great big humongous beer drinking tent business out of business. Let's see. Oh, and as far as a fundraising goal is concerned, here for midweek. Let's see. $415. $415 to get the fundraising to where it needs to be here at midweek. And instead of 415, it's now 405. Thanks to Anatole. Thank you, Anatole. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. Much obliged. Brother Usher Steve says, let's kick it off in celebration of Tracy's completion of the triathlon. Let's do a $5 challenge. But if it's met, I'll put in three times the $5, making it $20. So all somebody needs to do is kick in another $5. And Brother Usher Steve in New York will turn it into 20. And that'll get us down to 385 to go on fundraising. Thank you. It's the yay, Tracy didn't drown, triathlon challenge, courtesy of Brother Usher Steve. Thank you. The little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men didn't have anything to do, and the deacons neither. And they're certainly not smoking with the sinners, because, well, no fellowship hall dinner. Everybody's sitting at home listening to the sermon this evening. But regardless, we do have some prayer meeting to do. A little tech note coming from our buddy Fab. I use TuneIn Free for most podcasts. I changed to live when you put it up. I still listen to other podcasts and such. Lately, last 2 weeks or so, I'm seeing without notice my Progressive and other channels not connecting, such as Progressive Voices, CNN, MSNBC, and some others. I emailed Progressive Voices, got no response. I can't find any info concerning regulatory changes and so forth. TuneIn also doesn't respond. I hope you would have a deeper insight of the biz to solve it for me. It's very frustrating. But, you know, it was months back now. Actually, it was December. Wasn't it? Was it December? Yeah. When Progressive Voices absolutely got hammered by an attack, just devastated. And, of course, we've had problems with them as well, but you don't get a lot of feedback from them, Fab. I'm sorry to say, but it's true. I wish I could tell you. That's why Brother Deacon Asa put the player back, the old third party player that we had, back into circulation, because, well, that and the whole ads issue, and it was not working out well. I honestly have no I have no better answer than that, and I'm sorry. So for this here prayer meeting Wednesday, there won't be an altar call. It doesn't change the fact that, still I do remain Archpope Uber Rabbi Ultimate Imam Animated Animist Antagonized Agnostic Vicarious Vicar Maximum Metropolitan Gargantuan Guru and Mosque-licking Mullah Bob Kincaid. But there's nobody to come to the altar because, well, there's no altar. Brother Usher Steve, subject line, hand sanitizer. I was able to find a case of hand sanitizer at the Wally World at the back of the shelf, so I'm offering it first come, first serve. Randy in PA with a message for Frank Fab. Netroots Radio carries many of the Progressive Voices type programming, so you might check there. So let's just, and by the way, I guess the nation will be addressed or undressed by Nitwit Nero at, what, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time? They had to get him out to be seen publicly today after he failed to show up at the presser yesterday. And he wasn't in a very good mood. I think it's absolutely true that he is shit terrified of what's going on. Jim Acosta of CNN asked him a question today. He said, what do you say to America? Okay, understand. Okay, so this is the question. Direct quote. What do you say to Americans who are concerned that you're not taking this seriously enough and some of your statements don't match what your health experts are saying? That's CNN, fake news. And then wouldn't answer the question. And he was very upset because he was meeting with a bunch of titans of industry, masters of the universe, financial wizards, bank CEOs from Wall Street, because it was another one of those days today. There on the in the White House and on in the market. The Dow Jones Industrial Average took a 5.8% hit, lost everything that it had gained yesterday and added a little more to the losses. NASDAQ down 4.7%, S&P 500 down 4.8%. And a reminder, if the Dow has about 4,500 points more to hemorrhage, and every cent will have been lost that was gained since Nitwit Nero took his hand off the Bible on January the 20th, 2017. So you can understand why he might be a little less than jovial, a little less than pleasant. So I'm curious to because he lacks the Constitution. No, not the document, but he lacks the Constitution to be able to guide or lead the nation through something like a pandemic. And by the way, it's official today. It's a pandemic, according to the World Health Organization, that determination made earlier this afternoon. And then, of course, we had the mini Super 2 Tuesday or Super Tuesday 2 primaries yesterday. Bernie got walloped again. But held a news conference today and said he's staying in the race. Not because he wants to make Joe Biden do something. Right. They're getting testy in the Congress. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble with Fab. Thank you for the quick response, says Fab. However, your failure to be all-knowing and omnipotent has severely brought into question your credibility in my hypercritical mind. Just can't trust anybody anymore. I'm going back to praying for miracles. Nah, just kidding. That'd be nonsensical. Love you. Love the show. And as this election nears, more necessary and valuable than ever. Thank you, Fab. Thank you so very much indeed. And thanks for all the support you've provided the program. We'd be lost without it. Thank you. And to all of you, and thank you to Dave, a member of the fraternity of Dave, who answered Steve's challenge and added some to it. So that means that we are now down to 360 bucks to go. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Thanks tons. 360 bucks to go to come up even with the middle of the week. But like I said, tempers are getting frayed in the Congress as well. Massachusetts 8th District Democrat Stephen Lynch was part of the group involved in a hearing in the House today that featured National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Director Dr. Anthony Fauci. And Representative Lynch was less than plussed with Dr. Fauci. And, you know, for I think, good reason, because we've seen them all, even these medical professionals who are supposed to put science first, we've seen them all go to great lengths to put their proboscis up nigh unto the posterior of the coronavirus Caligula. Thus, the following.
Massachusetts, Congressman Lynch. He is recognized for 5 minutes, and I want to thank him for his help in preparing this hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the witnesses. I want to echo the call for unity that was expressed by the ranking member early in this hearing. I am proud to say that every single member of this committee, Democrat and Republican, voted for $8.3 billion to deal with the coronavirus. We all did so, I think, consistent with your requests from our public health officials. I think America is...
Oh, and by the way, a reminder, the only, over in the other body of the Congress, over in the Senate, the only one voting against the coronavirus funding? Yep, Rand Paul. Libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul, who's I suspect if you were to pants him, you'd find a tattoo on his ass that just read IGMFU, Igumfu. I got mine. Fuck you.
Best when we have a unity of purpose, a singularity of mission, and that we're all on board. But that much being said, I have to say that the president's statements from the beginning of this has been contrary to the direction that you have given us. The president on March 6th told the people in my district publicly that the tests were ready Anybody who wants a test can go be tested. They're beautiful tests, beautiful tests. That's not a medical term. So my constituents went to their local health centers, went to their hospitals. There were no tests. Zero. Zero. And I know they're rolling out now, but this was back on the 6th. That's not a good situation. He said this in front of some of you at a public hearing, at a press conference. And I saw no one step up and say, no, the president wasn't correct. The tests are not there. They're not ready. They're not beautiful. They're not available. So we need a unity of purpose, but we are not going to get that when the president is telling people that the cases of coronavirus are going down, not up. They doubled yesterday in my district, doubled. And I represent part of Boston. Myself and Ms. Presley share that city. It's not a backwater medically or technically. It's very advanced. The president has made some bizarre statements here. And I want to be together with my Republican colleagues. But when the president said he has an uncle who went to MIT in the 1930s and that he has a natural affinity and an ability for this, it's got to raise some red flags. We need you to step up. Dr. Fauci, you've been great on some of this stuff and pushing back. When the president said we're going to get a vaccine fairly quickly, a matter of months, you were good to step up and say, no, it's going to be a year and a half. But, we really need honesty here. And when the president is making statements like this, we need pushback from the public health officials. Standing behind him and nodding silently or an eye roll once in a while is not going to get us. We really need, when I say things, they're immediately considered political because I'm a Democrat and I'm elected. But, you have a certain level of credibility and honesty that I think that should be persuasive to the American people. So I just ask you to be more forthright when the president makes statements like this. We need leadership, but we need people to be very much aware of the dangers that are out there. The cases are not going down. The American people should be aware of that. You should be forthright in explaining that. When the secretary of when the president's economic director says, we got this contained, not quite airtight, but almost there. We need you. We need you, our public health officials, to step up and say that is not true. That is hurting us. That is making the spread of this virus, more extended, more prolific, and more possible. The American people really have to step up here and make sure that, they're aware of the dangers. Dr. Fauci, go ahead.
Mr. Lynch, I appreciate your comments, but I can tell you absolutely that I tell the president, the vice president, and everyone on the task force exactly what the scientific data is and what the evidence is.
Yeah.
I have never, ever held back telling exactly what is going on from a public health standpoint. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Everything that Representative Lynch said was true. And Dr. Fauci's response, although not necessarily addressing the same the issue, was, I presume, factually correct. The problem is in the middle. And the problem in the middle is about 6 feet one, 290 pounds, orange, and suffering profoundly from an intellectual disability that has been a problem for him, I suspect, since birth. And what Representative Lynch was saying is you've got to fact check him. You've got to correct him in real time, because that's when he's doing the harm. That is when this misanthrope in the White House, this thing, the best part of whom ran down his mama's leg, that's the time at which He is an active vector for the spread of the disease via the disinformation that he spouts. That's why I started the program with the business from Jim Acosta. The direct question he asked, which had specific, you know, which had to do with things like anybody can get tested who wants to get tested. The numbers are 15 now, and there'll be 5 tomorrow. Tried to ask Trump to respond to Americans who are concerned he's not taking the situation seriously enough and that his statements don't match what health experts are saying. And his only response was, that's CNN, fake news. We are rapidly approaching a place and a time, I fear, when the failure to trigger the Section 4 of the 25th Amendment may become lethal on a massive scale. So I guess we'll all be watching intently this evening to see how much sniffling he does. Or to see if it looks like they've got him dosed to the gills. Remember, he's a speed freak. But the word of the day, or the phrase of the day, the password is social distancing. We are entering the age of no more hugs. Not for a while. God, we were at the doctor's office today. We walked in, I went over and hit the hand sanitizer right away. They took us, and it's difficult not to touch things. The largest sensory organ in the body is the skin. And so we got into the exam room, washed my hands, dried them off, hit them with a dose of hand sanitizer. Paranoid? Probably. Scared? Absolutely. It's like yesterday. I was telling Agnes about this, and she knew exactly what had happened before I even told her. So early yesterday morning, I had to be over to have the purge valve checked out so that they could purge, the Ford dealership could purge $100 out of my wallet. And so once I got done, you know, setting up the appointment and everything, giving them the keys, all of that, she said, do you know where the waiting area is? And I said, yes, and I won't be in there. Because I'm trying to take this idea of social distancing seriously. So I used my elbow to open the restroom door. Went to the sink. Used my forearm to lever up the water running. Got a handful of soap. Scrubbed. Sang happy birthday twice. Made sure that I got into all the little spaces. Did a full turn on every finger, each thumb. Rinsed, turned the water off with my elbow, picked up a thickness of paper towels, dried completely, threw those towels away, got another paper towel, pulled the handle on the men's room door, threw the towel in the trash as I walked out. And it's not like I'm walking around like a surgeon with my hands held out in front of me or anything. But just trying to be mindful to not be so tactile. And so over by the window, there was a table in the showroom. No one was sitting there. So I sat down, to just patiently wait for them to tell me how much they were going to purge from my wallet. And lo and behold, you know, it's a funny thing. It's a funny thing about us hillbillies. On the one hand, we can be clannish and standoffish. That's clan with a C, by the way. Although in some places in this state, it's also clan with a K. In this case, I'm using the C version. We're clannish and standoffish. But on the other hand, we're neighborly. We'll just sit and jaw. And so lo and behold, there I am, probably hadn't been sitting there 3 minutes, when the only other person in the dealership who wasn't in the waiting area walks up and plops down across from me and commences to start jawing. And I don't like to be mean to people. I'm not that kind of guy. It's like, I didn't have a, you know, sign on my back that said, "We'll converse for food." And so I made some excuse and said, "Well, I better get over here and check and see how much they're going to rip me off." But we're going to have to take this concept of social distancing seriously, because that's really the only mitigation factor that there is. Shut everything down. That's not a phrase I came up with. It's a phrase that an infectious disease expert came up with. It's the only hope. And I don't know how they're going to explain to Nitwit Nero no more MAGA rallies. I don't know how they're going to. He was exposed to the virus, and he's not quarantined. 2 straight days we've seen him sitting there with the press all around him, of whom he is terrified, and talking with these banksters and whatnot. Not exactly setting a good example. And so here we have another dispatch from the third known Dave in the Emerald Triangle. The Emerald Triangle being the local jargon for Mendocino, Humboldt, and Trinity counties and their cannabis trade. I was in Costco today to get broccoli florets, organic chicken breasts, and paper towels. It was still early, so there were only about 125 mega consumers on the floor. As I approached the Koch Brothers Monopoly, or paper pot products, to wipe things with, I discovered that a sales associate was metering access to said products. There was a limit of 2 cases of toilet paper per person. Only then did I realize that everyone had 2 cases of toilet paper in their cart. And I had none. I didn't know I needed 2 cases of bath tissue until just that moment. I was the only one with nitrile gloves on and an open container of bleach wipes, but no butt wipe. What to do? What to do? I know. I'll write Bob. He'll know what to do. Awaiting your reply. 2 asterisks. Not really. Buy the shit tickets, Dave. Buy the shit tickets. Suman, however, took issue with the idea of me being all-knowing and said, "All-knowing? I forgive you for not being all-knowing, because the orange orangutan has taken away all the words. Don't you know? He has all the words. All the beautiful words. I had to go searching for these words in my email." Oh, it's going to be... who was it? Was it... Gabriel Garcia Marquez, who wrote Love in the Time of Cholera? I don't know why that title has been popping around in my head. Speculation now that the big super-duper important Trump babble tonight will have something to do with imposing a new travel ban or travel restrictions on flights to Europe. Jim Acosta, who got accused of being fake news, said one of the recommendations we're hearing that the president may lay out tonight, he may announce new travel restrictions for passengers headed to Europe. One top Homeland Security official told lawmakers earlier today, those restrictions are under discussion inside the administration. But part of the problem for the president is that there is an outbreak of mixed messages and false statements coming from the White House. And I still think that there will be no small amount of carrying on about the market, the sacred, holy market. Darlene in Connecticut asking, what if someone who is infected just freaking coughs on you by accident? Isn't COVID-19 a respiratory-based virus? Yes, it is. I mean, I know they say to wash your hands for 20 seconds singing happy birthday. I just thought it was once, not twice. Oh, fuck. No, it's twice, Darlene. And I thought it used to be washing your hands for 30 seconds, but I digress. But I'm wondering if that is a faux panacea. Am I being redundant by writing faux panacea? In any case, are we being told to do A, B, and C just to calm us all down, give us a false sense of control, and prevent mass hysteria? I'm wondering if constant hand washing won't actually help. Can't hurt, but won't ultimately help. Jesus, we are all so fucked. We're all screwed, Bob. That's my Scott impression there, is what that is. I think the hand washing is real. Because the virus, it can be anywhere. And yes, it is. It can be transmitted through the air, suspended in an aerosolized fashion, ejected from the mouth, the nostrils, in a cough or a sneeze. But there is a ballistics of even something as minute as a virus. Just by way of example, to try to create the necessary mental picture. If you were to watch someone shooting two different kinds of pistols at the same target, first shooting, say, a 9mm, where maybe the muzzle velocity, and I'm just making numbers up, where the muzzle velocity is 1,800 feet per second. That means that at the muzzle, where the bullet emerges, it's moving at 1,800 feet per second. But once the energy has been expended to propel it, it sheds that energy as it flies. So let's say you see someone shoot a target with a 9mm pistol, and then they shoot the same target with a .45 caliber pistol, which is a much bigger bullet with a much lower muzzle velocity. It packs a huge kinetic wallop, but it doesn't travel nearly as quickly in the relative to the 9mm, so that you can actually see the bullet fall if your target is far enough away. It'll and, you know, hit the ground instead of the target. Yeah, well, the same thing applies to the virus. A sneeze is going to eject whatever is being ejected at a considerably more rapid rate than a cough is, because there is more explosive force behind it. And so that's where social distancing comes in. And so if you keep a minimum distance of, say, 15 feet between you and any other human being, you reduce the risk of being directly contacted through airborne ejection of viral particles. The hand washing comes in largely because of our predilection for touching ourselves. And I don't mean like that. No, quit it. We touch our faces almost constantly. We lick our lips. We scratch our heads. We're primates. We are hairless chimpanzees. And so as a consequence, if your hands are clean, then there is a reduced likelihood of you putting any virus that has hit you or that you've come in contact with somewhere that it can get into your body via your mouth, your nose, your eyes. So I don't think the hand washing is just giving us some bullshit thing to do. What we're trying to do is to change deeply inbred, not like that, deeply ingrained behaviors. It's kind of like last night when Mike Pencil Neck Geek said, "Oh, I'm definitely going to keep shaking hands because I'm in the handshaking business, you fool." And if you're somewhere where you're not particularly at risk, start engaging in these behavior modifications now so that you can be cognizant of it, turn it into habit behavior, and then if you go into a risk area, maybe you'll be a little less likely to pick it up. Obviously, the fewer people you come into contact with, the better your chances are. Because this isn't, you know, it's not going to, at least in the United States, we don't think it's at a point where it's going to leap from animals to us. And for God's sakes, just offer your polite regrets when you're invited to the big pangolin barbecue. That's probably pretty good advice. Steve, in Georgistan, subject line, NASCAR. Georgia's having a huge NASCAR event here at Atlanta Motor Speedway this Sunday. The maggots will flock to that event from all over the East Coast and beyond. It's going to spread like wildfire, man. And God forbid NASCAR said, "Nah, don't come." Wow. Exactly. When I said, "Buy the shit tickets, Dave, buy the shit tickets," Jack in Shreveport said, "Because you don't get to ride the shit toilet without a ticket." No ticket, no toilet. At least you don't want it. Right. Oh, dear. Glenn with a note. "The Grand Princess? This is the exact ship I'm supposed to be taking when I go to Alaska this summer. Damn, why does it have to be the Grand Princess? I know. Snakes. Why has it always got to be snakes?" Right? Yeah, I'd be rethinking that, Glenn. Not that I'm stop telling us when to think about cruising, Bob. Realistically, and this is just in the larger context of climate change, why do we still have cruise ship lines? Great big floating carbon dioxide emitters. Because they don't really, you know, it used to, you know, when travel by seagoing vessel was a thing, we had seagoing vessels to get from point A to point B. Cruise ship lines are just running around in circles. Yeah, I don't know. COVID-19 and social distance, Billable Rick writes, "I heard an epidemiology expert say on CNN today that the range of the COVID-19 virus is 2 meters or about 6 feet. Thus, that's the recommended distance that you should be away from other people. That's probably the reason why the NCAA March Madness games will not have fans. It's also why big musical festivals and events have been canceled or postponed. Yeah, Coachella, sorry. What about the NBA? We are less than a month away, I think. Yeah, I know. We're less than a month away from the opening of baseball season. We have not seen, I suspect, a disruption of social life like this since the Second World War, which means that the majority of people in the United States have no transgenerational understanding of this whatsoever. In the Second World War, because of gasoline rationing, travel was limited. As a result of the need to feed the troops, access to foodstuffs was rationed. Even the copper that went into pennies was pulled out of circulation, and they were replaced with little, I don't even know what the substance was, but the phrase for being broke that developed during the Second World War is, you know, I don't have a red cent to my name. The pennies were red. Huh, okay. Dave informs us that Golden State versus Brooklyn tomorrow will have no fans in the stands. Randy in PA reminds us a few months back, the makers of Purell were forced to withdraw most of their health benefits claims, but everyone's forgotten about that by now. Washing with soap and water is still better than hand sanitizer. Hand sanitizer, in the meantime, is, while not perfect, something. Terrace writes, the preemptive strike masters. I noticed yesterday that the whiners on the wrong have already escalated to, they're talking about impeaching the president again. Moom. Which, of course, isn't true. Nancy's been conspicuously silent lately. But if impeachment isn't for endangering the country and indeed the world by interfering with the CDC's response to a pandemic, then impeachment is for nothing. The wrong wing spokesmarketers are so good at controlling the message. Impeach the motherfucker. Jesus. I highly recommend going and reading Section 4 of the 25th Amendment again. David in South Carolina stands, subject line, brother-in-law. Got a brother-in-law who had two heart attacks and is on dialysis. He's a Trumper who says this virus is a hoax and not as lethal as flu, because he read about it on Facebook and saw it on Fox. This is a true story in progress. He is 64 years old. Scott in San Diego, pennies during World War II, if they were red, it's likely they were made from Twizzlers. No, my mother had a couple of them. And I can't remember. I don't know. It might have been some sort of Masonite or something. There were World War II pennies made of zinc. Yeah. Maybe, you know what? The red pennies, those may have been ration tokens. Oh, but Dave letting us know that South by Southwest and the Ultra Music Festival have both said they're not going to issue refunds. Of course not. Oh, sorry. Randy in PA reminds me. Haven't you been properly trained by Madison Avenue? It's bathroom tissue, not toilet paper. I guess shit tickets is definitely out then, isn't it? It's getting interestinger and interestinger. Yeah, there's the Purell story. Courtesy of Randy and PA. It was about 4 weeks ago. The maker of Purell hand sanitizers warned by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to stop claiming the products can protect people from infections and illnesses. The agency warned Gojo Industries that unsubstantiated claims that Purell can help prevent illnesses such as the flu, Ebola virus, norovirus, and the MRSA superbug violate federal laws. Among the things that they pointed out, the FDA saw that the claims that Purell products are proven to reduce absenteeism. Purell kills more than 99.99% of the most common germs that may cause illness in healthcare settings, including MRSA. But that does not, but by the same token, it doesn't mean that it doesn't serve as a it's the specific claims that were rejected by the FDA, but alcohol remains what alcohol is. You ever notice that a lot of that stuff smells like gin? Not vodka, gin. Oh, the things that we do. In 1943, the pennies were made of steel and were silver in color. If you happen to find a copper 1943 penny, it's worth about $50,000 as a collector's item. Wow. Yeah, my family doctor when I was a kid had some of those steel pennies under his desk. I was fascinated by them. Billable Rick, COVID-19 and the Darwin Awards. I suspect there will be three types of mass gatherings that will continue to proceed despite the threat of COVID-19. One, NASCAR races. Two, country music concerts and festivals, Stagecoach accepted. I actually attended the Blake Shelton concert last Saturday with legends the Bellamy Brothers, Trace Adkins, and John Anderson. Tremendous show. It'll probably be my last concert for the next several months. And three, Trump rallies. What do all these types of events have in common? Hint, attendees at these events like to wear red Wuhan-made hats. So isn't it ironic that maggots will be prime candidates to contract COVID-19? Doesn't science suck? Yeah, and the worst part of it is they will find some, and they will then spread it to the rest of us. Sparky says, my sister has her World War II ration card. She was born in 1943. Mom saved everything. That generation was like that. And this from Lady B. So in a sense, the Russians have won. I mean, the virus wasn't their fault, but they got to be coughing into their elbows in glee. I find myself engaging in the same behavior, not obsessively, but moving in two blocks away. Gloves and sanitizer. I fear what I'm becoming. The funny thing is, everyone around me seems so casual about it. I work with a guy who's 71 years old and three-time cancer survivor. He knows that the fourth time will be his last, so his attitude towards life can be kind of meh. Anyway, he thinks that the coronavirus news is overblown. He's an avid Fox News watcher. And even wears his MAGA hat to work, which he shouldn't be able to do. But he reminds white folks of their grandpa, I guess, so that's that. We get along great. That's how life works out sometimes. I told him he should be more cautious about germs because he and his wife take care of his severely disabled brother-in-law. He paused for a moment and then nodded. I'd hate to think he just now thought about that. But Fox News is fucking poison. They should be destroyed and the earth salted for perpetuating this shit. I'm afraid for him. I'm afraid for a lot of the people who seem to be so casual about this. But maybe they have the right idea. Darlene in Connecticut may be right. I can glove up all day. But if anyone leaving our germ cesspool of a call center coughs on me, it's game over, man. Maybe we can't stop the inevitable. If gloves and sanitizer are a panacea to keep us sane, so be it. We humans need to feel like we have some self-control. I heard someone say that we touch our faces to remember that we are here. I would hate to lose the ability to do that. God, I hope we figure this out soon. Signed, Lady, still I remain tied to the mast, B. It's the only way to hear the siren song, Lady B. And live to tell the tale. Still, there is some... Oh, why, look. It's Stan the Studio Stink Bug. Bye, Stan. Robert in Australia says, overuse of hand sanitizer. I read that overuse of hand sanitizer can actually damage your skin, making you more likely to catch something. Well, alcohol is a desiccant, and it will dry your hands out, and then your hands will crack. Having fun while staying in, Scott in San Diego says, I ordered this paint-by-numbers kit. Still life study in bread, milk, and toilet paper, with which I will happily while away the hours stuck inside. Yes, it's, you know, that's got a very Dutch quality to it, Scott. Lots of blacks and browns. Low light. Brendan says, in 1943, most of the pennies minted were stainless steel due to copper supply diversion for the war effort. I agree with you, though. When the impacts of COVID-19 hit, it will be the equivalent of the Pearl Harbor attack. Well, at least some of us had parents to tell us what it was like. The transmission of that wisdom might be valuable. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon says, quit telling us how to contract the coronavirus, Bob. Randy in PA says, I have a dry cough. I'm self-isolated. I seem to get this sort of bronchitis and its resulting strep-type throat every spring, the nasal drip down the back of my throat, maybe allergies. I usually take locally sourced honey dissolved in organic lemon juice and hot water for it, but this year I haven't been able to find any. I probably can't go anywhere without people freaking out. Yeah, I know the feeling, and so does Dr. Bill. He and I were talking, and by the way, he was on the air yesterday. Because of the doctor's appointment, we couldn't have him on the air today. But hopefully he'll be back next Monday. He said... In that beautiful voice he has. He said, I go out, and without thinking, I cough. And then I look around, and I expect to see people going, why aren't you in a cage? And we are beginning to look at each other a little bit differently. Let's see here. A little bit of audio to perhaps provide a little bit of surcease from the megrims. This is a video entitled how rednecks prepare for the coronavirus. It's a guy wearing a yellow plastic bucket with spray cans of disinfectant spray strapped to either side, two eye holes cut into it, and pop bottles stuffed with paper towels for ventilator cartridges, and one of those fiberglass mitigation suits with the words, "Stay back 10 feet, written on the front. How rednecks prepare for the coronavirus.
Hello, America. So I don't know if y'all seen it, but that coronavirus is spreading all over the world. At first it was in China, then it went to South Korea, then it went to Italy, and now it's done somehow hopped on an airplane and flew over here to America. So right now I'm going to show everybody how you can properly prepare yourselves so that you will not get the coronavirus. Now, I know the professionals are saying, oh, all you need to do is wash your hands and make sure you don't put your hands near your face or your mouth. Oh, really? How is that going to stop one of them coronavirus zombies from walking up to me, coughing in my face, that coronavirus going in my mouth, down my tracheal, and into my lungs?
Tracheal.
It can't. That's why you need to don the proper protective gear so that you will not get the coronavirus. Now, as you can tell, I am wearing a coronavirus-proof suit with a clear message on it that says, stay back 10 feet. And that goes for everybody, all right? Everybody. My grandma, my mama, everybody. I don't know who's got the coronavirus. And that's also why this is very important. This here is my corona stick. When somebody starts walking up to me, I will stick the stick out like this. And once they touch the tip of the stick, that's as close as they can get, right there.
You've heard the expression, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Yeah, well, this is about a 6-foot pole.
Because that right there gives me enough distance to where if they cough, their coronavirus droplets will not make it into my mouth. Now, if they keep trying to walk, that's when you need to take back. You need to get back. That way they'll know you ain't playing no games, all right? I will beat you with this stick if you keep trying to walk toward me, okay? My personal health is at jeopardy. You don't get near me. You stay back. Now, I also got my gloves here. Now, I don't wear no rubber gloves, all right? Them germs can't get through no leather. That's why you need to wear leather gloves. Now, this here is my most important part of my whole coronavirus suit. This is my ventilatory system. Now, a lot of people think that you can just wear one of them regular old surgical masks, but that don't work. Them coronavirus droplets are small, and they can get straight through them masks. But you know what the coronavirus can't get through? Plastic. And it can't get through my ventilatory system right here either. You got right there, that's Bounty paper towel rolls. Nothing can make it through a Bounty paper towel roll without getting caught. Now, I've also got my disinfectant spray on each side of my ventilatory system. That way, if I'm walking along and somebody walks up towards me and they start a coughing, I can spray my disinfectant in there and kill all them droplets before they get anywhere near me. Now, as you can tell, I've also got my disinfectant spray.
Droplets.
It's in my holsters here. It is very important that you always have enough disinfectant spray. And you might not always be able to get to the ones at the top of your helmet. So you need to practice with these disinfectant sprays to make sure you as quick as wide earth pulling them things out your holsters. Let's say I'm walking through the grocery store and somebody sneezes. And that right.
The fact that he twirls his disinfectant spray before putting them back in their holsters is what makes it art. And yes, by the way, he bought Walmart brand disinfectant spray and not the expensive Lysol stuff because redneck.
Sir, ladies and gentlemen, is how you keep yourself safe from the coronavirus. God bless y'all. I love you.
I love you. I think somebody's getting into my shtick. Well, I got a kick out of it, at least. Yeah, thanks to Chris in Germany for sending that along. Randy in PA says, this is straight out of a Robert A. Heinlein novel, it would seem. Anyone in particular, Randy? As to the pennies, I really opened a can of worms with the pennies. I wonder if you can open a can of worms with a penny. Well, maybe if you maybe cut a notch in it. Bob, I've heard that only 48 of those 43 pennies were made. They're in a private collection in London. There's supposed to be two in circulation. If I find one, I will have it authenticated. If it's genuine, I will notify the London collector. I'm curious about how much she'll offer me. Her name is Queen Elizabeth II. Well, of course. The British royal family. Why we can't have nice, rare things. Why paper products and not canned goods, says Billable Rick. I'm trying to figure out why everyone's swarming to the big box stores and supermarkets to buy up toilet paper and bottled water instead of canned goods. Did they get a memo about how to act during emergencies that wasn't sent to me? If the concern of people engaged in such panic buying is the disruption of supply chains, they should be much more concerned about possible food shortages, of which we have only a 7 to 10 day supply of fresh food at any moment. The last time that I checked, paper products are not edible unless you ask my Maltese poodle Coco Bear, who manages to find any available paper product for chewing purposes. No, it's a little more prosaic than that, Billable Rick. What it boils down to is if you figure you're going to have to self-quarantine and avoid contact with other human beings except those in your own home, people lay in ramen noodles and you figure the water's going to stay on. But it's, it's a special brand of hell to be caught out of toilet paper. Now, hillbillies like me, we know that there was a time when our ancestors used dried corn cobs and dried corn shucks. The Sears and Roebuck catalog, the Montgomery Ward catalog, the JCPenney catalog. Yeah. Do you remember those people of a certain age, and perhaps viewers of MeTV, might recall a Chuck Connors vehicle from way, way back called Branded. It was about a U.S. cavalry soldier who had been betrayed and framed for a dishonorable act which he did not commit. And so they went through the whole ceremony of throwing him out of the cavalry, and they broke his sword and ripped the buttons off of his coat. And it had a compelling theme song, Branded. And by the time I was entering that era of my life when children sing and learn naughty songs, there had been an alternative lyric to the theme song to Branded. And this might help Billable Rick in understanding why people are hoarding toilet paper. Because the parody lyric to the Branded theme was... It was stranded on the toilet bowl. What do you do when you're stranded and you don't have a roll? To prove you're a man, you must wipe with your hand, 'cause you're free. Stranded. That's why they're hoarding toilet paper, Billable Rick. It's going to be bad enough to be cooped up inside the house with nobody but your family. But to be cooped up inside the house with nobody but your family and no toilet paper, that right there is a special brand of hell. Fab pointing out, our coronavirus hazmat man would probably be better off than those encountering him if he just stuck his head back up his ass, maybe with the face mask still attached. Oh, well, you know, it's kind of like the spread of viruses. I mentioned the parody to the branded song. Randy in PA immediately starts typing some of the lyrics to it. It's all a matter of dissemination. Jack in Shreveport says, hell yeah, Sears catalog. You can't wipe your ass with no e-book. Damn Skippy, you can't. Subject line, achoo! Steve from Georgia Stan says, sneeze droplets can travel up to 20 feet, and these droplets stay suspended in the air for up to 10 minutes. Feel better? No, but I was right. It's ballistics apply to virus droplets just like they do to bullets and ICBMs. Oh, that's quality. Dave says, speaking of lyric upgrades, came from New York City, sucks Ivanka's titties, king putt. Well, now. Yeah, that's well-deserved. No, it wasn't SNL. Darlene in Connecticut says, you sure that redneck clip wasn't an SNL skit? Seriously, that was hilarious. You should have seen the disgusted look on Agnes's face while I was watching it in the doctor's office waiting room. Can't you wait? Oh, please, no. But it's funny. Okay, Sparky tells me the guy that did that video is a comedian from the Nitro Comedy Tour, the same comedy troupe as Catfish Cooley. Well, it was funny, and he's a ginger. Let's see. David in South Carolina Stan says, done run out of hand sanitizer around here. Maybe people can get some cheap aftershave lotion. This could get funky. Of all the aftershaves, lotions have the highest alcohol content, 60 to 75%, and are very similar to the splashes barbers used in the old days. Remember, placing alcohol on sensitive skin that has just been shaved causes pain. Remember the scene from the first Home Alone? Yeah, little Macaulay Culkin. Brother Usher Steve, subject line Fox News. Something's really made me wonder. Seems as though maggots only watch Fox. They certainly don't read. Even avid MSNBC acolytes seek information from other sources. Are we smarter? Are we more curious? What is it about liberals that make us naturally skeptical and seek multiple sources when we hear or read something? It is the fact that we do not have the same authoritarian streak they do. They are not looking for information. They are looking for confirmation. And that makes all the difference in the world, Brother Usher. Those catalogs no longer exist, says Ron in Raleigh. Damned vulture capitalists have ruined the catalog business. I used to love looking at the lingerie ads. Softcore porn. I mean, really? Kinda was. So we are a little over an hour into the program, as I filibobster along. And we've got $360 to go to get to where we need to be for middle of the week. $160 to go to get done with yesterday. And so any help along those lines is much obliged. The PayPal thing, of course, is over at head on.live. Oh, my God. Steve in New York reminding me. Branded. You realize that little Larry Sellers' dad wrote the bulk of the series? Look out that window, Larry. See what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass? Yes, because Big Lebowski. Mm-hmm. So how's the rest of the country handling the coronavirus? As we know, Golden State versus Brooklyn will have no fans in the stands. South by Southwest has been canceled. Coachella, see ya. But in Washington, D.C., Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Church thinks that we're all being a bunch of sissies. Monsignor Charles Pope, great name. I mean, just think about it. If he was to get to be the Bishop of Rome, he'd be Pope. That's good. But he decided to unburden himself of some feelings about the coronavirus, and he sent it into the National Catholic Register. Writing, I simply ask you, are we majoring in the minors? Physical health has its place, but spiritual health does too. And its place is vastly more important. So just to recap, this gospel hustler says that something you cannot see, cannot quantify, cannot qualify, cannot measure, cannot prove exists, the spirit, is more important than the physical bodies that we do know exist. I'm concerned that we've lost our courage and our faith and subordinated holy things to the state in this matter. Canceling mass while bars and restaurants remain open during the day is obtuse and seems to demonstrate a lack of resolve among our leaders. Really? I mean, bars and restaurants sell drinks and food, but they don't ask everybody to drink from the same goddamn cup. And they don't stick their hands in other people's mouths, giving them magic crackers. Obtuse and seems to demonstrate a lack of resolve among our leaders. St. Charles Borromeo did not hunker down during the plague outbreak of his day. He went among the faithful and cared for them as a priest should do. He also told the unbelieving civil leaders of his day to acknowledge that faith, public repentance, and worship were essential parts of any solution. Oh, my Jesus. Pray the coronavirus away. No kidding. We have far less than plague today and are far too willing to let a secular government tell us to cancel our public prayers. Some will call me irresponsible for calling for public and communal masses to resume. People are dying, they will say. I can only respond by saying that souls are dying. Again, souls that they cannot be proven to exist. And not likely by coronavirus. Souls are dying due to fear and worldly obsession with death. Death will come to all of us. He should know he's a member of a death cult. And not like, because Christianity is a death cult. And not likely by coronavirus. The deeper and more important question is this. Are you ready to die and face judgment? You first, motherfucker! Yeah. Stupid bastard probably thinks that COVID-19 is some sort of goddamn demon. Wait, that's further into the stack for prayer meeting Wednesday. Now let's find out who's on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy hump day to you too, Bob. It's me, Reggie from Decatur, Georgia.
What's up, Reggie?
Do you think that this coronavirus, this COVID-19, going to result in a, shall we say, a worldwide pandemic? Now we just need thinking out of the box again, or out of pocket, or going into conspiracy theory mode again, like that idiot guy.
Nope, it's real. It's real. World Health Organization declared it to be a pandemic today. And those aren't, let's see, let's check the latest numbers. Those aren't 4,552 imaginary dead people, Reggie.
Right, but we're canceling everything, practically canceling everything because of it.
Yes, because that's the only, we do that because in the realm of the science behind infectious disease and pandemics, that's the only way you can mitigate it. That's the only way you can stop its spread, is to stop people from moving around and going in places where they can continue to spread it.
Right. And we don't know when it's going to end, if ever, you know.
Oh, it will. It will, because right now, as viruses go, from an evolutionary standpoint, Reggie, it is an unsuccessful virus.
It is.
A virus that kills too many of its host does not itself well survive.
Right.
So, the flu that kills 1 in 1,000 is a more successful virus than this that kills 3.4 in 100.
Right. But thank God for that. Thank God it's unsuccessful so far. I just hope it stays and remains that way.
Well, as Dr. Fauci said, it's going to take a year and a half at best, at the earliest, to develop a vaccine.
Right.
If a vaccine can be developed.
Right.
And so, in the meantime, the only way to stop the spread is to shut everything down.
Right. Regardless of how much money it's going to cost.
No species, no economy. So it's really kind of a balancing act.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm glad you attacked that Fox News film 6 by Chris Reagan yesterday about that.
Jesus, what an idiot.
I think you jump on her ass about that.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad you jumped on her ass about that.
She's a special brand of stupid.
Why you say that, Bob?
I said everything I had to say about her last night.
Right, and I forgot they only hire stupid people over there, not smart people. Correct? I mean, I like MSNBC and CNN.
I just want to know what her makeup artist has against her, because she hates her.
She hates her makeup artist. Why?
No. Her makeup artist hates her. It's pretty. It was pretty obvious from the video of the clip that her makeup artist despises her.
What? Because she looks horrible.
One of the commentators said she has been. She has been contoured within an inch of her life. You know how it used to be fashionable, I guess is the term, to paint flames down the side of a car? You ever seen a car with flames painted down the sides? That's what her cheeks looked like. Her cheeks looked like racing stripes on the side of her face.
Right. You think she's going to give her makeup artist holy ass hell for that?
Oh, no. She thinks she's... It's obvious she thinks she's hot.
Oh, she thinks she's hot. But nobody else does. Not even a woman.
No. She's there because of the pervy old right-wing men who tune in and don't give a damn what she says and just sit there and fantasize about her with no clothes on.
Right.
Or probably fantasize about her with very few clothes on.
Right. Or what about the rest of the film, Bob? I'm treated the exact same way. that most men fantasize with little or no clothes on, preferably the leather. You know, I mean, these are the exact same pervy old ass white men who fantasize about AOC, but they can't have her because she doesn't want them. You know what I'm saying? You look at them as creepy, correct?
Only because they are, Reggie.
They are. But they want her, but they attack her, you know. But she doesn't want them because he's already been accounted for by her boyfriend. But they can't go after these Fox bots that they have that they can pervy over. I know it got one of them in trouble, and now he's dead, you know, Mr. L.
Right. I sure do. I forget which attack blonde it was that he looked at and said, and she was on a trampoline at a Fox picnic or party, and he said, "I sure do hope you ain't wearing panties under there."
Was it Gretchen?
Roger Ailes did. Yeah.
Gretchen Carlson?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who it was.
But. Well, he's been accused of sexual harassment.
Oh, they paid out a fortune. Because
her, Andrea Quintero, and the rest of them. You know, even Megyn Kelly came out against them. So how can we stop? How can we stop sexual harassment at the workplace, Bob?
That's too big a topic for this program,
right.
Greater minds than ours have been stymied on it.
Right.
Yeah, Jimmy in the Great Northwest lets me know the virus, at least three school districts here in Washington State have closed schools for at least 2 weeks.
Right.
And
anything else shutting down?
Oh, God.
What, Bob? Anything else is shutting down because of this virus?
Oh, the list grows every day.
Oh, man. Wait, like you said, no human species, no economy.
Right.
No money, no economy. And you know who's freaking out about that? The multi-quadrillionaire.
Oh, no, the person who's shitting himself the most about it is Donald J. Trump.
No kidding. And his hail spawn. I'm sure his hail spawn's pissing and shitting all over themselves too, Bob. You know, his kids, Mr. Ivanka rank my daddy Trump, and Donnie Boy, and the rest of them. I wonder what this Melania B. Best Trump thinks about this. You know, the model. What does Melania think about this?
You mean melanoma?
Yeah. What does she think about this?
Oh, who knows? I'm sure she'll tell the virus. I'm sure she'll tell the virus to be best, or maybe she can make a public appearance with her "I really don't care, do you" jacket.
Oh, right. You mean that ugly ass jacket she wore? Well, that was stupid. Who dressed her up in that jacket?
No, that was deliberate. That was deliberate. Hey, Reggie, good to hear from you, man. We will talk again soon. All right.
Yeah. All right. Stay safe and healthy and warm or cool or whatever, Bob.
Gonna try. Gonna try, Reggie. I mean, it's 74. It's 74 lovely degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studio. It was downright spring-like. Out there today, and yeah. Hey, we're only 8 days away from the first day of spring. Hot damn.
Did you set your clock forward that last week, Bob?
Yeah, well, most of them did it automatically, but we're all sprung forward, yes.
Yeah, so are we. It's like 70 degrees down here in Decatur, Georgia, where I'm at.
Oh, man. Yeah, it'll be 90 and 95% humidity down there before you know it.
Right, and it's cloudy over here, too. It rained a little, but that was it.
All right, Reggie, you take care of yourself now.
You do too, Bob.
All right, bye now. That's our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur, Georgia. A lovely place, by the way. A lovely place indeed. Let's see, David in South Carolina, Stan. The the patron saint band of this radio network, the Drive-By Truckers. Seattle, sorry to announce our show at the Showbox, originally scheduled for March 18th, has been postponed to Thursday, July 16th, 2020. All tickets will be honored. Refunds available at point of purchase for those who cannot attend the new date. Hang in there, Seattle. Good folks, the truckers. Subject line, coronavirus hoax. Lee in New York says, I'm sure that POTUS will tell us that Hillary Clinton did the murders. Burisma made the poison with a brew created by Joe and Hunter Biden, and Barack Obama delivered it via the Underground Railroad. It really is that simple for the maggots. Yeah, that would be funny if it didn't just carry such a boatload of truth about it, Lee. You know not just how much truth you speak. Oh, and one more virus note. Seattle has already canceled opening day for the Mariners, the baseball team. And again, this is the only way. The only way. We don't have human condoms. And we don't have respirators or rebreathers or scuba gear for getting around in public. The only way. Oh, and so, yeah, we had the priest there, Steve in New York, Brother Usher Steve says, souls are dying? I know I have plantar fasciitis, but my souls aren't dying. I thought he was talking about the fishes, because I do love me some filet of sole, Dover sole. But I don't think that's the coronavirus. I think that's climate change that are causing the souls to die. Randy in PA says, all kidding aside, there may be a world reset in progress. The news program on Progressive Voices said once that China had to keep their economy going or very bad things would happen inside China. You know, we love our wars, but we don't want to pay for them. So China buys our treasury bills, but perhaps no longer. That new car on the 1988 game show that sold for $10,000 today cost $30,000, mostly due to our unpaid war obligations. It's also why our veterans get screwed out of their benefits. It may really hit home when we can't get our prescriptions filled. Besides, if you die, then you supposedly will be in a better place at the right hand of Jesus, or so we're told. Yeah, I wouldn't bet a lot of money on that last part, you know. But, again, I highly recommend, and if we're going to be inside for a while, this is a great book because it's a real thick one, and it'll keep you busy for a while. Barbara Tuchman's A Distant Mirror. And when she gets to the part about the plague, you begin to see the social disruption that took place. The medieval world was toddling along reasonably well. I mean, they were constant. The movers and shakers and the powerful men were constantly at each other's throats, and there was always a war going on. And well, the crusaders who came back from the crusades came back and didn't have near enough to keep them busy, so they decided they formed what were called the companies, and the companies then went about pretty much killing at will. Yeah. So that priest says souls are dying. But it's not just him. Oh, no. The weird is all over the place. God, it's all over the place. There's a white winger preacher by the name of Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Oh, wait, this is too good. My buddy Silent R. Lamar says, breaking news. Oh, man, it's the Republican health care program. Don't get sick. If you do get sick, die quickly. Silent R. Lamar says, especially under Trump. Yeah, Jonathan Shuttlesworth says that, you know, the coronavirus really isn't going to be that much to America. And he knows why. You can well imagine, being as how it's prayer meeting Wednesday, of course.
I predict America will be minimally affected by coronavirus. I didn't say unaffected, but I did say minimally affected.
Evil fucker. Drinking coffee out of a mason jar. He is minimally affected. Well,
and if it's a plan from the deep state,
oh,
to practice shutting America down and population control, it'll fail. The Lord looks at the plans of the wicked and laughs. And men can't override God's blessing. If God is for you, who can be against you?
Yeah, I wonder if any of the dead people in the United States were Christians. How about in Italy?
Well, you're just pro-America. God, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't honor God. God is a very simple being to figure out.
Do tell.
He responds to honor. Honor me in the tithe and the offering. Honor me. Show me by action that you know that it's me that's helping you.
Wow. The most powerful being in the universe has apparently got self-esteem issues.
See if I won't open the windows of heaven. You honor God with a national day of prayer. You honor God with a national day of fasting and prayer, several national days of prayer. And then you honor Israel. Read the Bible.
Oh, well, okay then. Honor Israel. That's really key to the Divine Benefits Program, honoring Israel. That's the key to your coronavirus cure, honoring Israel.
Nation doesn't have to be run by a perfect man for God to...
Well, that's good, because the nation's being run by a deeply imperfect man. Even though he says that the call was perfect, perfect.
Give goodness to the nation. I will bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. Even Trump's critics would have to say that he honors Israel. Now they could say... He just does it to appeal to the Christian. They can say whatever they want. He honored Israel. Obama honored the enemies of Israel. Trump honors Israel. And it's a massive difference.
Wait. Hold the hell on. Whoa, Shuttlesworth, buddy. So am I to understand from this fuckwit that during the 8 years of Obama's presidency, we weren't sending vast boatloads of billions upon billions upon billions of American taxpayer dollars to Israel? Is that what I'm supposed to understand out of that? Or is it because Barack Obama didn't get down and kiss psychopathic Bibi Netanyahu's hairy toe? Where's the honoring? What's the honoring part?
Predict. America will be minimally affected by coronavirus. That's my prediction.
I don't like to do this generally. But this fucker's relatively young. He's not in a risk category. So when he says America will be minimally affected, he means he expects to be minimally affected. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
I don't believe I'll be wrong.
a little caveat to my prediction.
Oh, well, weasel room.
I exclude from my prediction the Pacific Northwest, California, and New York.
You evil fuck.
Because in a God-honoring nation, those are four places that have chosen to give God the middle finger in the shape of an Empire State Building lit up in pink to celebrate the passage of the that you can kill a baby. I mean, you let New York.
Yeah, because that happened, only it didn't.
New York and California go much longer. They'll legalize abortion up until when the kid's 4 years old.
I'm all for aborting that motherfucker. How about you?
They'd have a year of kindergarten first and then decide whether you want to keep it or kill it.
Listen to the sick fantasies that inhabit the minds of American Christians. Jesus. Holy shit.
So if it did hit Washington State hard with that government there, Oregon with that government, California, let me tell you, your government matters. If it hits New York, you will not see me suppressed.
Man, that religion of peace and the followers of the Prince of Peace, they're just, they're something, aren't they? And then there's messianic communicator Ron Cantor. And he's got a prophetic update on the coronavirus. He's not a prophet, Ron Cantor. I mean, he's a humble hustler. Twelve minutes of this, so we're not going to get it all.
Israel, I'm coming to you from Tel Aviv, and I am the CEO of Tikkun International, also based here in Israel. And I want to share with you something that the Lord put on my heart regarding the coronavirus. I want to encourage you with the word of God. You know, we're always looking for something prophetic. What is God saying? What is God speaking? I want to encourage you that you can always know what God is saying by looking at his promises in the Word of God. So the other morning I was praying and I was just asking the Lord if
I was just hanging out
there
praying
was something that he wanted to say regarding this. I'm not a prophet. I'm not known as a prophet. But I did sense that the Lord said something to me. And he said, be ready. And when I heard those words, be ready, I knew exactly what he meant. This is not going to be the last plague that we endure. The Bible says that in the last days, there's going to be famine, earthquake, pestilence. We know in the book of Revelation, it speaks about...
You know, they can't resist, can they? They can't help themselves. And so... we heard about Israel honoring in the previous clip. Well, if China just turns gospel sharps like him loose all over the land, he says that things are going to get tough on planet Earth. Before Jesus comes back, there's going to be a thing called the Great Tribulation. But he says that... the coronavirus could be over in an hour if China would just announce that it had become a Christian theocracy. Whoa. But then there's Josh Bernstein. Josh knows what's going on.
This is a Democratic Party and a media establishment made up pandemic, okay? And I believe that because Russia didn't work and Ukraine didn't work and impeachment didn't work, they are so hell-bent on destroying this country, this president, to gain back power that they probably worked with the Chinese Chaikon government and devised this plan. They allowed their medical deep state to release this virus into the American public, scare the living daylights out of everybody, to shut down the economy, to shut down the market.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right on.
Hang on. And to stop the Trump rallies. That's what this is all about. This is to try to stop Trump. These people are sick, twisted, and they should all be held accountable. We should lock them in a room with infected coronavirus people, and they shouldn't have gas masks on.
Yeah.
All of them.
Well, I totally agree.
Of course he does. And by the way, that was the other voice that wasn't Josh Bernstein. That was Dill Beagle, or Bill Deagle, of the Nutramedical Report. I know. Oh, hey, thank you, Brian. Thanks very kindly to Brian out there. Brian just took us down to only $335 to go to come up even for the middle of the week. So another $135, and we're done with yesterday. Sparky says, when do you think they'll see the mark of the beast in Trump? Never. That's Obama. Or Bill Clinton, maybe. Or probably Hillary. Or wait, no. Bernie. Bernie's Jewish. The beast, the Antichrist has to be Jewish. Because we've had clips to that effect. They've got it all sorted out. Yeah. And then, Glenn, is it? Why is it that when God speaks to these gospel sharps, he's always so damn vague? Wouldn't it be more effective to be detailed? Like, why not just give us the vaccine through one of these clowns who have a direct connection to God? Well, because God, God's going to make the virus. It's all part of the divine plan. You know, mysterious are his ways. It's no fun if it's not mysterious. But yeah, the vagaries got to Brother Usher Steve too. Great word, minimally affected. The best part about that is that no matter what happens, he can claim he's right. And that's all part of the hustle. There's someone out there right now. There's someone right out there right now that badly needs to be encouraged. I'm thinking of a letter, the letter A. No. The letter B. Someone out there with a name, the letter B, needs encouragement and uplifting. No. Maybe it's the letter C. Is it the letter C? How about D? That's how the racket works. Yeah, Silent R. Lamar. No, dude was not over 60. The Shuttlesworth hate monger. Question is the preacher over 60? COVID-19 movie reference, Logan's Run, where at the age of 25 you have to die. I think it's 30. Capricorn, 24-18. Carousel awaits. Yeah. Honoring God, Lee in New York says, honoring God keeps you safe? Did he forget the Pope's address? Probably not a fan. And as Steve notes, New York has the largest Jewish population. How's that work? Shh. Those are all self-hating Jews, even the ones who aren't. Even the ones who vote Republican. You see? Subject line, Vlad, NRA. David in South Carolina stands says, do these people realize that Vlad would not put up with their gun-toting NRA BS for 1 second? Okay. That explains. I was kind of surprised to see a theological question coming from Sparky. And he said, the late great Planet Earth was the only book I read in Thailand. Man, to be stuck in Thailand with Hal Lindsey, or at least a book by him. Whew. And proof we need universal mental health coverage. Why didn't the minister follow up with the lesser-known verse about if God needs a therapist who doesn't? I'm sure that that's in one of the apocryphal books, and therefore a good Gundam endless ammo sec. Good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, ammosexual wouldn't know it. And that comes our way from our buddy Dave in the blind in Tallahassee. Wow. So, yeah, the Democratic Party and the Chi-Coms. And all these people are dying all over the world. All these people are sick all over the world. Just to make Trump look bad and keep maggots from being able to go to rallies. Oh, I look forward to that story, Sparky. Sparky says he'll tell us his late great Planet Earth story on the front porch Friday. That'll be a blast. And it goes on and on and on, of course. And I got more. Oh, God, I got more. Okay, just one more, and then I'll go to the phones. Our old buddy E-Dub, E-W Jackson, which is how Rush Limbaugh says Jackson anytime he's talking about Jesse. Jackson. Well, E-Dub's not worried about the coronavirus. No, he's worried about a different virus, probably promulgated by big old, studly, manly, hot, sweaty, manly men. A man!
Now, the district I live in is the 3rd District of Virginia. It happens to have Bobby Scott as its congressman, and if you all please pray for me, okay? That's all I can say. Just please pray for me. This is the guy who led the battle to keep from putting In God We Trust on the wall of the Capitol Visitor Center. I mean, we built that Visitor Center, about 5 years ago now, maybe a little longer. Well, he was a champion opposing putting it on, because his theory was
you
can't put In God We Trust on the wall of the Capitol Visitor Center because people will be insulted. Which just goes to show that the man is wholly owned by the secular left, because he goes out and campaigns in churches all over the district, and people, frankly, ignorantly vote for him, not knowing that the man is an enemy of the cross. He is an enemy of God. He is an enemy of Jesus Christ. Yes, I said it, and I mean it. And he's running around supporting every abortion policy that would help kill more babies. He supports the whole homosexual movement. The last thing in the world the black community needs is more destruction of the family, more attacks on the family. And that's all this whole homosexual movement amounts to. It is a virulent.
Can't you just hear the Christian love just emanating from old E-Dub?
Violent attack. You know what? It is the I may get in trouble for this one, but this is right off the presses. It is the homo virus for the family.
Yeah. Now, there is a real and deadly virus running through the country and around the globe. And this evil fucker has the nerve. To compare gay people to a deadly disease. Yes, sirree. That's some religion of love, that Christianity. Disgusting. All right, Let's run over and check in on the phones. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob, I'll just keep you a couple of shakes of the lamb's tail, and I don't mean the Lamb of God.
Glory.
I mean the little innocent lamb out here chomping on the grass. The last guy that you, who was the last audio guy that did you play there?
Because I get them. That was E.W. Jackson.
All right, now he's the guy who wanted to get In God We Trust emblazoned on the
Visitors Center,
the Capitol Visitors Center. Is that right?
Yeah. Or maybe a Virginia Visitors Center.
No, I believe he meant the U.S. Capitol Visitors Center. Because if he did, the whole point of that Capitol Visitors Center, and I've never been there, but I saw a documentary about it once. The whole point of it is to beef up security. Because they all, before it was created, and I've never been there, but I have been to the Capitol. Before it was created, you could pretty much enter the Capitol complex through any door you chose. You go up the front steps, you go up the back steps, you go through the side door, any way you wanted. This was a way, in the wake of 9/11, as I recall, to herd people through a series of passages. I think part of it's even underground.
All of it's underground.
Okay. They herd them through a series of passages. Well, then you know this. And they have lots of pictures and different historical tableaus.
There's an aspect of it that's it's a museum. I've got when I was there, they had the desk that belonged to John Quincy Adams that he used in the House of Representatives to draft all of his abolition bills.
Yeah. Well, so there is an educational aspect to it. But the primary reason for its existence is for heightened security. And so he's saying that In God We Trust, which in his mind is the ultimate form of security one can have.
Yeah, it's the ultimate binky.
God is the binky. The most powerful entity anywhere, except he's chronically broke. Have you noticed that, Bob? Have you noticed that? They're always passing that fucking plate. I just, the biceps on those deacons and ushers are not to be believed with that fucking plate moving up and down the aisles.
Well, it's a pity ours aren't heavier, but, you know, theirs takes a fucking forklift.
Yeah. So anyway, and then the other guy, Shuttlesworth, I hope to God or whoever's listening that he is not related to the late, I believe he's late, Fred Shuttlesworth, of Atlanta, as I recall, or Montgomery, somewhere, who used to be like a right-hand person to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
No, thank
God for that. Thank God for that. I mean, gee. But the whole, I know we talked a lot yesterday, so I wanted to make this relatively brief. The whole purpose of my call, Brother Bob, is to hip you and the Horn family congregation who are Netflix subscribers. Today is the day, circled in red on the grand calendar of life, for the release of the second season of the Netflix documentary series, Dirty Money.
Oh, my.
And I watched a couple of the episodes late last night after it dropped. And I think the third one in is about a young man we've all heard of, Jared Kushner.
Oh, really?
Now, I didn't know a great deal about young Mr. Kushner, other than he was the son-in-law to the tangerine-tinted Tiberius tyrant, twerp, whichever T word you wish to employ. All of them work, really.
Titwillow.
Titwillow, yes. President Titwillow at your service. But I didn't know that much about Jared. I knew a little bit about his daddy, who was in prison there for a while for nefarious deeds. But in watching Dirty Money season 2, episode 3, I believe, about Jared Kushner. I actually learned more than I care to know about this guy. This guy is so crooked that I wager, I'm willing to wager, he is so twisted. In a previous life, he was a corkscrew-shaped penis of a duck. You know, they do have corkscrew-shaped penis.
You know, I've never gotten that close to a duck.
Well, come on, Bob. I mean, Donald Duck, Daffy Duck, none of them wear pants. I'm surprised you never noticed before. Well, Porky Pig, too, for that matter. I don't even want to think about his porcine appendage. But anyway, this, you will, don't eat before you watch it. Otherwise, you will hurl a fine meal in learning of just what a sleazebag Jared Kushner and his family, but him especially. Just a horrid, you talk about using hand sanitizer and wearing a protective suit or something like that.
Yeah.
To be anywhere near him, you'd want to take extraordinary measures so you don't get any on you.
Well, and courtesy of Agnes the Viking Warrior Princess, Pharaoh Princess, and delight of my life, I can now go after the dinner hour in the Mountain Daylight Time Zone. You're gonna love this.
Okay.
There have been tests performed on the holy water in the font in Catholic churches.
Oh, I'm sure it's a soup of magnificent proportions of
tests,
illness.
Tests indicated 86% of the holy water commonly used in baptism ceremonies into wet congregants' lips was infected with common bacteria found in fecal matter, such as E. coli, enterococci, and Campylobacter, which can lead to diarrhea, cramping, abdominal pain, and fever. That was from September of 2013.
Yes. Why am I not surprised?
And I don't think you're allowed to put any bleach in the holy water.
No, that shows a lack of faith.
And you know the about the three nuns who got caught having sex.
Yes, I do, Bob.
They were given their penance, you know, say 50 Hail Marys, and the first one comes out and says, what do you have to do? She said, well, I've got to say 50 Hail Marys and cleanse my vagina with holy water. Second one comes out of confession. What do you got to do? Well, I got to say 50 Hail Marys and take a holy water enema.
Oh, my.
Third one comes out. Well, what do you got to do? She said, I have to do 50 Hail Marys and gargle.
Yeah.
The delivery wasn't there, but you get the idea. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, I broke up there. I had my, that's all right. The problem is on my end, tech-wise. Say it again.
No, I just said there was something left wanting in the delivery there.
No, that's all right. That's all right. It's an old, I love Catholic jokes. I don't remember them worth a damn, but I love them. But let's see, I'm thinking that is essentially it. Well, yeah, you got the word about my paint-by-numbers kit.
Yes.
Study in red milk and toilet paper. It's going to be pretty. I'm going to get a suitable frame for it once it's done.
Do your ceiling and call it the Scott Steen ceiling.
What was that? Wasn't there a Burt Reynolds movie in the 70s, I guess, were his parents. The father was big on paint by numbers. They lived in a home or something, and he was always running out of yellow number five or something. I think Pat O'Malley, the rather rotund, bald headed.
That doesn't tickle any. That doesn't tickle any brain cells.
It might have been the end, the one where Bert is hell bent on doing himself in, as I recall. I don't know.
Lee in New York just said, "Holy, holy water, Batman! God needs a better maintenance staff." No, God needs for the priests to stop being practical jokers and pooping in the font.
Well, you know, it is a rather serious thing because they want the infants, because see, Catholics believe in infant baptism.
Yes.
They get you the moment you're born, more or less, and. You know, they want, I believe in the Bible, when Jesus was taken to the temple for the first time or whatever, was 8 days old.
Yeah. That's, okay. Yeah. That's why New Year's is when New Year's is.
Yeah.
It's the celebration of the genital mutilation of little baby Jesus.
Oh, the circumcision. I forgot about that. Boy, you ought to be adding on, not cutting off.
In the civilized pre-Christian world, yeah. We would just now be we'd be 11 days into the new year today, because the Romans set up New Year's Day as March the 1st, because in the Northern Hemisphere, March marked the beginning of the season when you could go and plow your ground and get your seeds in the ground, get your crops going, and then march off to pillage your neighbors.
Yeah.
Hence, March is named for the god of war, Mars.
I never knew that. Mm-hmm. I knew there was a windy month, good for kite flying in certain parts of the country. I do remember that from my World Book Encyclopedia.
But yeah,
what the hell was I saying? I just, fragments come and they go, Bob. I don't know what's going to become of me.
The days start coming and they won't stop coming. Yeah.
But God damn it, I had a wonderful point. I wanted a nugget of truth I wanted to share with you and the Horn family, and it has vacated the premises. I'll run out front and see if it's on the lawn cavorting with the squirrels or something.
It has quit the place.
I'm like Trump. My cheese has slid off my cracker somewhat.
Oh, by the way, I did figure out. You remember when he stood there and said, we'll have a virus probably like day after tomorrow, or a vaccine day after tomorrow. It'll be a beautiful vaccine. It'll be a perfect vaccine. Believe me. Remember when he said that?
Didn't he say it'll be as perfect as the phone call and the transcript?
Right, but you remember when he said it, that we'll have a vaccine any day now. That was the mm-hmm. day that Dr. Fauci had to stand up and say, yeah, no, not really, year and a half. Well, I finally figured out where he got the notion that there's a vaccine right around the corner. He got it
pulled it from his ass.
No, he got it from... pastor, brother, minister, governor, former presidential candidate, phony baloney, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman, Mike Huckabee.
Oh, there you go.
Because at the end of February, they invited Mike Huckabee to speak to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Las Vegas.
Yeah, okay.
And there he declared, the Israelis are very close to finding a cure, a vaccine to the coronavirus. They expect that they will have it in the marketplace within a few weeks. Let them boycott that, he said, as a way of attacking the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. And
so that sounds about right.
That's where Trump got the idea.
Oh, I remembered what I was going to say about the holy water.
Yes.
How filthy it is. And they use that, the holy water, to baptize babies. Now, at 3 or 4 or a week old or 8 days old or whatever, a child, other than what is imparted by the parents and the mother, has no immune system to speak of. They're very vulnerable. And they're
newborns get their first load of antibodies through the first fluids that come from the lactation process in the mother, and that fluid is called colostrum, and it is chock-a-block with the mother's antibodies.
Yeah. But, I mean, you got to figure that even with being properly breastfed and stuff, that filthy water and skin, obviously there were pores in the skin.
Oh, look, little Jewish babies die practically every year still in New York because of the ultra-Orthodox who cling to the notion that it's not just enough to mutilate the little baby's dick. You have to hire a moil who bites it off.
Oh, my God, merciful Jesus. Oh, God.
I mean, it's sick.
What? How do you even apply for a job like that? What does your resume have to state in terms of qualifications? Holy mother. And this is a paying concern. This is a specialist, you might say, in the field of religion.
Yes. And so what happens
is... It's right there on the guy's business.
So what happens, you'll have a moil who has herpes, and he'll transmit it to the little 8-day-old baby, and the baby dies.
Jesus.
I mean, there was one of those stories in the last year or so. I remember talking about it.
Well, there was that rabbi who... He did nothing with circumcisions. And
that's a moil.
All right, this moil who had this quirky thing. He did these circumcisions. That's all he did. That was his specialty. That's all he did. And he had this quirky practice where he would save the little foreskins. And he retired, but he had this big sack of little foreskins and thought that maybe it could be fashioned into a something to remind him of his many years' service to God. So he took it to a specialist, a leather specialist or whatever, and said, can you make me, you know, a small document bag, like a briefcase or something? And the guy said, you know, come back Tuesday, which they often do. So he came back Tuesday, and the guy opened the box and unwrapped the white tissue paper, and with dramatic flourish, pulled out a tiny change purse and handed it to the rabbi, who was stunned. He says, I bring you 30 years where a huge sack or a sizable sack of tiny foreskins representing my 30 years dedication to the Lord. And you give me this. You give me a tiny change purse. And the taxidermist said, ah, rabbi, but if you rub it, you get a steamer trunk. So that is going to be
Jesus, we went a long way for that one.
I know, I just couldn't help it. I should have stopped with the TV viewing tip and let it go at that. But definitely, I know you have Netflix. Watch the Jared Kushner episode of Dirty Money Season 2. I swear to you, you will hurl. He is a landlord. His family owns property.
Slumlord.
Yeah, not just in New York and maybe New Jersey, but even places like Baltimore and Northern Virginia. I mean, I've had, landlords that weren't the best over my years as a renter, but I've never had been subjected to that level of callousness and disregard for even the most basic human shelter. Is one of the primary things that we all should have: decent, adequate shelter from the elements and a place to hang your hat, a place to call home, you know? So definitely watch that.
Bill in PA thanks you for letting us know about that. He'll be watching it and ask me to convey his gratitude.
And I can't wait to hear Sparky's story about reading the Lake Flat Earth.
No, that's going to be for the ages. Yeah, I have a feeling. Scott's Chamber Pot Chapel asks Lady B. the Picasso Potty. The Last Temptation of Taco Bell. Yeah.
Ah, dear.
Stop telling us how to hoard toilet paper, Bob.
Well, you know, I haven't been a member of Costco for some years, but as I recall...
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
There are bricks, hermetically sealed bricks of toilet tissue, 36 rolls to a pack or something, as I recall. You could build a fort, you know, just get a... Hire a truck, rent it, do a U-Haul, make your run to Costco, assuming there's no limit to a customer. But hell, how long are how long will 72 rolls last the average family if you're limited even to two 36 roll hermetically sealed packs? Jesus. But you get a bunch of these and build a little fort. Make a game of it. Have fun in this age of coronavirus death and devastation. I mean, why not? I don't want to make it sound like Chucklebucks,
but I understand. Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we understand each other, I guess now would be the appropriate time to free up the phone and let somebody else call because I'm starting to get silly.
All right. You take care, Scott.
All right, Bob. You too. And best to all of the Horn family congregation. Please stay as well as you possibly can and follow all of the hand washing tips and different things like that.
Maybe get and some nitrile gloves. Maybe engage in some social distancing.
Oh, well, I'm not leaving the house. I've got my paint by numbers kit. And I'm going to be really slow and methodical and just savor the experience of my paint by numbers.
You could put on some Bob Ross videos while you're doing your paint by numbers.
Oh, yes. Pretty little tree.
And over there, behind the jug of milk, there's a little squirrel. And he's saying, crazy people.
Yep. All right.
See you, Scott.
All right, Bob. Take care.
Later. That's our buddy Scott calling from San Diego. Yeah, there's a another one of those messianic gospel hustlers in Israel, an Israeli Christian end times book writer by the name of Amir Sarfati, who runs a hustle called Behold Israel, and he said that the Israelis developing a corona vaccine would be the fulfillment of Abrahamic prophecy in which God allegedly tells Abraham that he and his descendants would be a blessing to the whole world. Yeah. But this is the lunacy where Nitwit Nero got the idea that, yeah, we'll have the vaccine day after tomorrow. It'll be beautiful, perfect, believe me. Yes, Steve now referring to Scott as Scott Casso. Scott Brandt? Scott Van Gogh? Social distancing? Jack in Shreveport says at least it's a term that's clearer than quantitative easing. Jack also pointed out... stream's been okay this evening. White Rose HQ's been good so far. Last night or maybe Monday it was tough, although maybe buffering or whatever doesn't start until the third hour for some reason. Hope I'm not jinxing stuff. So far, so good, Jack, because we're pretty well into the third hour. And thank you very kindly to Cynthia. Cynthia, thank you so much. Cynthia took us down to only $315 to go. If we knock out another $115 in the next 40 minutes or so, hey, we're caught up with yesterday. And that will be awesome. So thank you. Thank you very much, Cynthia. Thanks to everybody who's jumped in to help this evening to push back the deficit. And how about a Johns Hopkins update? Kindly suggested by our buddy Dave. I think that's appropriate. Here, the 11th of March, 2020. The total confirmed coronavirus cases worldwide are now at 125,851. Total recovery is 67,003. And total deaths is 4,615. So of the cases that the world has had, 125,851, slightly more than half are considered to be recovered. Now, China seems to have leveled off in the 80,000 neighborhood. On the other hand, though, the rest of the world, that graph is trending sharply upward. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're still number 8. We're number 8. We're number 8. USA. Trump, Trump, Trump. 1,279 U.S. cases. Minimally affected, according to that one gospel sharp. We're behind Germany, Spain, France, South Korea, Iran, and Italy. 12,400 in Italy. Italy is shut down from the top of the boot to the toe. And I read an article in The Atlantic today about the horrible, horrifying, heartbreaking choices that are facing the Italian medical system, because it is well past anything that could be described as overwhelmed. And of course, it's affecting everyone else. Everyone else who needs health care, too, not just people with the coronavirus. ICU for car wrecks, for instance. Not to be conspiratorial, Steve, Brother Usher Steve says, but I think we take China's numbers very skeptically. Yeah, no, I don't trust them. I don't believe them. Because we know they lied in the beginning. And by they, I don't mean your average, everyday, working stiff Chinese. I mean the sick psychopaths that run the country, like Xi Jinping. But God, if it levels off based on what they've done at around 80,000, that means that there's a whole lot more cases before you get to the leveling in the rest of the world. Let's see here. Okay, let's run over and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey. Why is it that whenever I go see a movie and I'm really happy about it, and then afterwards I find out that the people who knew best about the people that the movie's about are not happy with the movie? Like, you know, Green Book, I knew that going in, but, you know, I wanted to see it anyway because I love Mahershala Ali, so, you know. But so I went and saw The Banker on Monday. You know, it's a story about Bernard Garrett and Joe Morris, two black men who found a way around the racist policies of the 50s and the 60s and used a white guy to buy buildings in L.A. and then decided to open a bank in Texas in order to, you know, I don't know, help black people get the American dream and be able to buy homes and put money in their businesses, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
Well, now I'm seeing, because I was wanting to send you, you know, something, an article about, you know, the brothers. And now we got banker subjects' wives ask Apple to cancel film's March release. The banker cast and crew defend films against allegations. And I'm like, God damn it. Because I enjoyed the movie. As a matter of fact, Jam went with us. And so I come up with, we've come up with a new rating.
Yeah, I saw your rating. What was it? NTJA?
Yeah, Negro tested, Jan approved.
Very good. That's quality.
Because, you know, Negro tested, Jan approved. You know, so, you know, it didn't offend her sensibilities as a white person. And she was raving on and on about the movie. She really enjoyed it. I was like, well, goddamn, okay. I mean, it was me and Jay. Hey, and I just realized it, because usually when we go out, I'm usually the only black person in the group. And yep, when we went to the movies, it was Jay. She was the token. It was awesome. Didn't even think about that shit earlier until just now, because it was me, my brother, my sister, and Jay. So that was like, wow. But anyway, I mean, I enjoyed the movie. Now I'm going to have to look and see why these people are, why these, the women are mad. Oh, that the two wives of Barnard, Garrett, and are criticizing Apple's decision to release the film in March despite allegations that Garrett's son initially billed as a co-producer molested two girls. Oh, God. So now there's something. Oh, God, I got to read this article. My brain doesn't work right now. But anywho, so I had my first takedown of a maggot today.
Really?
And it wasn't, you know, yes, yes, baby, yes. So I went to lunch to this restaurant called Gus's. And it's kind of an up. It's barbecue, but, you know, white people. But it wasn't bad. I had and it was actually really good. I had a tri-tip sandwich with not melted mozzarella cheese, but chunks of mozzarella cheese mixed in a basil pesto something or another with, and just, let's just say it was really yummy. And so I was sitting at the bar, and now it's almost like, even though I think I'll call him Maggot Light, because he didn't, it wasn't a loud exchange or anything, but I could tell he was a maggot, because I was talking to the bartenders about, you know, the coronavirus and how, you know, Jan actually wanted me nuts. She's like basically telling me to come home and not go to the gym, and which, is, you know, like you were saying the other day, it's, you know, I might not be going to the gym for a while, which is really upsetting to me. Not so much the gym, because I could work out at home, but I won't be able to swim. And I'm, you know, I still don't know how I'm going to go for that. But anywho, I was just asking their opinion as to what do they think, that is it, you know, because especially since they work in the service industry, and, you know, if people start staying home, that's going to affect them and their work and blah, blah, blah. And this is a relatively new restaurant. It's only been open for 2 months. And so they're like, yeah, you know, we just wash our hands a lot and, you know, assure the public that we're doing everything we can do. We constantly wipe down the tables and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and we're just like saying, you know, just do what we're supposed to do. Wash your hands and blah, blah, blah. And that's what he's like. Well, if people just did what their parents taught them what to do and wash their hands and blah, 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 everything would be fine. I said, well, that's okay. That's all well and good for you and I, you know, because we're of a certain age. But there's some people who never got that lesson. And, you know, and something, you know, and then he's like, well, I was, because then I said something about the news about, you know, are they blowing things, you know, are they casting unneeded fear? And my thing is, I said, it wasn't so much unneeded fear. What I said was, I just said, you know, it's just, we just need to be more careful. I said, I'm concerned, but I haven't become overly worried. I think because I live in California, but that's, you know, somebody did die out here today. I think out here in L.A. But she's not from California. She wasn't from here. I think she was visiting and had done a lot of extensive traveling. But anywho, he was going on about, well, it's the media. They, you know, they're, you know, blowing all this out of proportion. They're trying to say, this is how, this is when I knew he was a maggot. You're like, if they don't like certain people, then that means that person is going to get the virus. Or how are we? I'm like, oh, here we go. And I'm like, well, I said, it has nothing to do, I said, with the media, really. It's just the fact that this, these things can happen. I mean, we, like you said, there are certain, until people know what's going on, and since we have idiots running this country, is the best precautionary measures that we can take at this point is not to have mass gatherings of people. And he's like, well, you know, well, people just gonna, this is, well, you know, people are just going to fake not going, having be able to go to work and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, I'm sorry. Oh, no, he was talking about, well, people just going to work and sick and stuff. I said, well, this, unfortunately, because of this, the way this country is set up, there's a lot of people who wish they could stay home, but because their job does not offer sick time or medical insurance or anything like that, they are forced to go to work, even though they probably know they should be staying home because they can't afford to stay home. You know, they're going to have to, they're taking the chance. And he's like, well, that's because they're living beyond their means. I said, living beyond their means?
Holy shit.
I said, what does that mean?
He reminds me a little bit of the lady I talked to in Walmart last weekend. Well, even if it is real, I don't know why they had to let those people come here.
Right, right. And I said, what do you mean by living beyond their means? He's like, well, you know, I, cause I said, he's a salesperson. And he's like, I see it all the time in my clients' homes and, you know, they're living beyond their means. I said, honey, that's a very small percentage of people. I'm like, the majority of the people that I know, myself included, we're not living beyond our means. We're living, we're basically a paycheck away from total oblivion. These are what they, people weren't living beyond them. I said, sweetheart, people who work at Walmart are just barely living. The people who are working here serving you your food are probably just barely living. There's no, he's like, well, you're a credit card debt. And I, he's like, I know people at Walmart, wait for it, who work at Walmart that drive a BMW. I said, what Walmart are they working at? He said, well, I've seen it. I'm like, well, I said, people are, you know, for you to sit there and say that people, you know, are living beyond their means and blah, and they're just faking whatever. Or, I said, that's such a gross generalization. I said, how dare you sit there? I was very calm. I said, that's an awful thing for you to say. I said, because people are terrified, they're scared to go, you know, because if they, I said, my, especially somebody like me, if I'm not in my cab, I don't work. And my income depends upon the school that my child, that the kid that I go to, that I transport goes to school. If that school is shut down, I'm done. Because, you know, I don't work at the airport anymore. And at this rate, there's really no point in working at the airport because, you know, there's no business as it is because Uber and Lyft has killed the business for cab drivers. But aside from that, nobody's flying. I said, this is no laughing matter. This is no joke. This is something that we need to take seriously. And for you to act as though the people who have to really work for a living, you know, will be taken advantage of the situation. By what means? What's the point? Again, they don't have sick time. I don't have sick time. So for you to sit back and, you know, sit up here eating your $20, you know, thing of macaroni and cheese, and so people are, you know, living beyond their means. That's hard. You're not a very nice person. When he looked at, he's like, well, you know, maybe I was overstating. I'm like, you think? That's why I said maggot light. Because I'm like, you are trying to blame the media for this, and you're trying to act as though that if people are, you know, people don't have a, you know, the people who really don't have a choice, that they, like, the, you know, and he was like, okay. And then we went on about, you know, I went on and finished eating my tri-tip sandwich, and he was eating his overpriced macaroni and cheese. But, you know, I don't get these people. You know, when he said it was the media, I'm like, no. Stop watching phone news, homie. You know, because when did they announced it today that this is now officially a pandemic, right?
Yeah, World Health Organization. But, this is one of those things that makes us know it's going to be, however bad it is in the rest of the world, we're going to make it worse here.
Yep.
For a variety of reasons, our profit-driven healthcare system being at the top of it, but also the fact that the White House, Tracy, has declared that all high-level meetings about the coronavirus must be classified, which means if you don't have the clearance, you can't be in the meeting. And some of the people who need to be in the meetings are healthcare professionals, scientists, who don't have the clearance. And then, of course, because it's classified, that means that the information cannot be allowed to get out to the American people.
Oh.
Because this malevolent administration isn't nearly as concerned about the health and well-being of people in this country as they are about the tender and delicate fifis of the intellectually Maggie? Disabled occupant of the White House.
Oh, that part, yeah.
And that's terrifying.
It is incredibly terrifying. I just got an email from my wife about info from Stanford University. The new coronavirus may not show signs of infections for many days. How can you know if you are infected? By the time you have a fever and or cough and go to the hospital, the lung is usually 50% fibrosis. Taiwan experts provide a simple self-check that we can do every morning. Take a deep breath and hold it in for more than 10 seconds. If you do this successfully without coughing, without discomfort, stiffness, or tightness, there's no fibrosis in the lungs. It basically indicates no infection. In critical times, please self-check every morning in an environment with clean air. Serious, excellent advice by Japanese doctors treating COVID-19 cases. Everyone should ensure your mouth and throat are moist, never dry. Take a few sips of water every 15 minutes at least. Why? Even if the virus gets into your mouth, drinking water or other liquids will wash them down through your throat and into the stomach. Once there, your stomach acid will kill all of the virus. If you don't drink enough water regularly, the virus can enter your windpipe and then the lungs. That is very dangerous. Please send and share this with family and friends. Take care, everyone, and may the world recover from this coronavirus soon. If you have a runny nose and sputum, you have a common cold. Coronavirus pneumonia is a dry cough with no runny nose. This is a new virus. It is not heat resistant and will be killed by temperatures of just 26 to 27 degrees Celsius, about 77 degrees Fahrenheit. It hates the sun. If someone sneezes with it, it goes about 10 feet before it drops to the ground and it is no longer airborne.
Tracy, I'd like, can you check that and see if it's actually got a stanford.edu address?
Yes, let's see. it was sent. I will check that and see if it does have a stamp, because it was just forwarded. So, but I'm pretty sure they're doing this because of the school. Because, you know, we're worried about all these little children and special needs kids that we're transporting and all this sort of stuff. But I will check again, but the thing is, what else are you hearing about what you can and cannot do?
It's kind of hard to just put it out there all at once. The simplest thing is the simplest mitigation thing is to stop as many, if not all, mass gatherings as we can. There is no treatment.
Nope.
There's no drug. The only care is palliative care. And that's not really, it's not a treatment.
Care.
By the way, you got some, you're getting some praise out there. Scott in San Diego says, kudos for Tracy. Not only is she a magnificent triathlete, she confidently speaks truth to stupid. Nice work. And subject line, living beyond their means, Brother Usher Steve in New York, who started the program with a challenge, is issuing another of his own. Living beyond their means, this is the fuck that guy challenge for $10. So if somebody will meet Brother Usher Steve's fuck that guy challenge, then we will actually get the fundraising goal for down below. We'll get it down to $295. So that would be huge. So the fuck that guy living beyond their means challenge is on the table. Lee in New York says that you should have asked the maggot why he doesn't work at Walmart and drive a Benz.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just,
And then Lee adds,
really beyond their means.
Yeah,
motherfucker.
Subject line, COVID-19, Lee says, an administration that contradicts medical professionals, no trust about when a vaccine will happen, Trump shaking hands, schools closed, concerts canceled, cruise ships become floating hospitals. Why would people panic? Yeah, because see, there's about 100,000 people's worth of cruise ships that will dock in the United States in the coming week.
Yeah.
And it may not be a very good thing. Because they may be carrying too.
This is, it's just, it's like you said, because you and I were supposed to be going to Vegas. Yeah, that probably ain't going to happen.
I'd say it's not a great idea.
I'm training for, because they canceled the New York City half marathon. Like you said, along with Coachella and Stagecoach. So it's like there's a very strong possibility that they're probably going to cancel this half marathon that I'm training for. As a matter of fact, the school, I did my triathlon in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center. They canceled yesterday or today the Junior Olympics that were supposed to be held there. I don't know when exactly. I think it's going to be the next couple of weeks. So they canceled that. So there's probably I'm going to keep training, but there's probably a strong possibility that the stuff that I'm training for is going to be canceled. All the stuff that I've paid for I paid for something in May and something else in June. Fortunately, they weren't, overly expensive. And the bullshit about the, at the LA Marathon when they said that certain people from, people from certain countries could not come and do the marathon, right? And their response was, we're not going to give you your money back, but we'll just, defer it to the next time. And it's like, What if I'm not going to be able to make it? Or what if I'm, you know, or I don't have the, you know, this is not, you told me I couldn't come. I didn't say I didn't want to come. So if you're telling me I can't come, motherfucker, you better give me my money back, because I think the entry fee for the LA Marathon, over $200. I'm like, no. And that's what a lot of these people are doing, these festivals and stuff. They're saying to people, oh, we're going to defer it, you know, like, especially like Coachella, because, you know, that thing is huge. And people's plans, that they take it off of work and stuff like that, and they postponed it until October or what have you. But what if you can't get time off in October? So, again, give me my money back. You don't have to pay the venues anymore or anything like that. I mean, I know there's going to be, like, you know, cancellation fees and stuff like that, but, you know what, give people their money back. Because, unfortunately, some of these people who are probably planned on going, because of this shit, might not have a job, you know, might not be able to go to work. So they're going to need every dime back that they can get. Ugh. So, yeah, we probably won't be going to Vegas. I'm like, God damn it. You know, I needed a break, but thank you. I mean, we're fortunate because, you know, I got cable and all that. But it's like,
well, as Steve in New York points out, this is pretty big, Brother Usher Steve says. New York has canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade. There's a pattern here.
Fuck!
The states that are acting responsibly are canceling all big events.
Well, even with Texas, I was shocked that they canceled South by Southwest. Because Texas. I mean, didn't Bernie and Biden cancel any campaign rallies coming up?
I know they canceled the one yesterday. They each had one yesterday in Cleveland. It was canceled.
So we're acting with, like you said, the people in states that are, you know, we're acting responsible. Wait a minute. I was about to let it go. E.W. Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
So my state.
The homovirus.
Now, what was he saying? Yes. Yeah, that's my. So, not only is it the homovirus, but then again, I'm in California as well. So, you know, we're all going to hell here because, you know, what do you say we gave Jesus or God? Who did we get the middle finger to?
Oh, God.
God, and that the Empire State Building is one big old middle finger.
Well, when it's pink celebrating. Aborting newborn babies, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and wait, was he the one that said, because I get the crazy religion.
No, that was the pink Empire State Building was the grifter Shuttlesworth.
And was he also the one that said about the, you know, we're going to let people have abortions until the kids are 4 years old?
Yeah, same guy.
Okay. Because I'm like, how is it an abortion if the babies are already born? We're not just... that's straight-up murder.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, that's murder if the kid is already born.
Right.
These people, it is just beyond me how I just... I get upset. I just, you know, I keep thinking about that asshole about people living beyond their means. You know, and I shut him up. He went on back to his $20 mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I want to say, so how much can you afford that mac and cheese? Talk about living beyond your means, motherfucker. I see it all the time. You know, I said, yes. There are plenty of people to live beyond their means, but the thing is, because using credit cards and all, I said, because a lot of people have to use their credit cards, I don't know, to buy groceries. It's not that they're living beyond their means and, you know, because I'm like, you sound a bit like you're talking about welfare queens, because it's like I said, people.
It's the same. You know, it's the same. It's the same attitude. It's the same manifestation.
It's the same attitude. It's like, no, you know, there's people who have to live on. I mean, I know I'm one of those people that until I get, I do pay pretty much my credit card bills in full. But there are times, like, you know, this last week, I didn't work pretty much all week because of the stupid shit that was going on with the computer in my car. So, but I have to use my credit card on a lot of stuff that I don't normally use my credit card for.
Yeah, Steve just said, yeah, I've been working at Mickey D's. I just bought a jet.
Exactly. I mean, it's this unrelenting drive to, you know, justify, treat, you know, not giving people a safety net. It's like, you know, basically in his mind, people choose to be poor. You know, that people choose to, you know, sit around, you know, just sit around and live off the public teeth. And that's and that's not the case, because that's what he was alluding to. If people decide to stay home, and if there's any, you know, government assistance, or they just staying home.
It's not all okay. David in South Carolina, Stan, just sent me a screenshot of a tweet. An individual said, just went to Seattle's UW Medical Center to ask how much patients are being charged for a coronavirus test. $100 to $500 if they have insurance, $1,600 if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, here in about 9 minutes, I guess he's going to start blithering. And it's worth remembering that the payroll tax cut that he wants to temporarily make zero is what pays for Social Security and Medicare.
Right.
And an individual tweeting said, this is the same dude who just last week went on Fox News and said he wanted to cut entitlements in his second term. Y'all figuring this out yet?
Mm-hmm. So, entitlement.
Right.
I paid into this shit, but anyway, I know you got to go, but I just, I thank you for what you do.
Thank you, Tracy. The infinite
patience that you have, and a lot of times the shit that you take for the team, because, you know, you listen to more stuff than we do because you want to make sure we're informed, and a lot of it you have to listen to a lot of horrible, 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 horrible shit. So I thank you for that. Y'all, hey, did you play that video, the audio for the Horn family about you better wash your hands?
No, I haven't yet.
You have to play that for him, Bob.
I couldn't get it to play on my, when you sent it to me the other day. It wouldn't play.
Are you serious? Oh, man. Yeah, I was trying to find it to actually find if it was a YouTube link or something. I was trying to find it, but I couldn't. But then again, I sucked at looking for shit like that really badly.
All right, hang on. Let me see if I've still got it. Let me see if it'll open on the Fab Machine.
On your computer?
Yeah. All right. Barking. Let's see if hold on.
Hello?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I lost you for a minute.
Yeah, I got it to open, but I can't get any audio out of it.
God damn it. Because it's so awesome. It is so, damn it. Because that shit is hilarious. It's a brother singing, you know, you better wash your hands. It's like a gospel treatment of singing how you got to wash your hands. Oh, wow. So now, all of our, so here it is. My swim coach, I just got an email from him. All workouts canceled because public pools. My apologies for this late notice, but I literally just received a call from Pasadena to the College Campus Youth Department. PCC has decided to cancel all civic youth permits, including swimming through April 30th, which means, sadly, that we will not be returning to PCC for any workouts until this point or later. This is all related to the coronavirus situation. It's been quite a few weeks of up. So there you go.
Well, there is an article.
That's one pool down.
There is an article at the Atlantic by Yasha Monk.
Mm-hmm.
And the title is simply Cancel Everything. So if you search Atlantic Cancel Everything, you'll probably find this. And it's well written, sensible, and goes step by step through why we've got to cancel. Do you head a sports team, play your games in front of an empty stadium? Are you organizing a conference? Postpone it till the fall. Do you run a business? Tell your employees to work from home. Are you running a presidential campaign? Cancel all rallies right now.
Here's one from a day ago from the Atlantic. Should people cancel weddings because of coronavirus?
Yes.
How coronavirus caused a hug and handshake hiatus. Canceling your subscription. No. I was on a coronavirus cruise ship. Cancel everything.
Yeah.
There it is. So I guess we're not going to Vegas.
Yeah. Yasha Monk also wrote another article at the Atlantic called The Extraordinary Decisions Facing Italian Doctors. And the final sentence of that article is cancel everything. Now. And the author is an associate professor at Johns Hopkins University, senior fellow at the German Marshall Fund, and a senior advisor at Protect Democracy. He is the author of The People Versus Democracy.
Cancel everything now. Because now we're talking. And we got, don't forget, we got the idiots that won't drink Corona beer because coronavirus.
Well, that turns out to be more or less of an urban legend.
I hope so.
It's the survey it was based on was kind of statistically sketchy. This is damn decent. Steve in New York writes, COVID-19 tests. I'm putting this out there. If anyone goes and has a test and cannot pay for it, get it. I will represent them if the hospital sues them for little to nothing, as long as it's in New York, because that's the only place I have a license to practice. But Steve's offering to defend anybody sued by a hospital over a coronavirus test. Lady B, as we head out the door, says, love you to death, Tracy. And congrats on completing your triathlon, but I'm wary as hell about forwarded emails, and I shut down my Facebook page years ago. Stanford University should have a .edu URL. If someone really wants to keep you informed, they'll copy and paste maybe a significant passage and then send you the website link. Anybody claiming to have heard anything firsthand still direct folks to the actual source. Anytime any of us hear or read shit that sounds like it would be damn near impossible to implement in everyday life, please take it as missing some info at best, outright made up at worst. So here's what we can do. Wash your hands. Keep your hands away from your face. Cough into your elbow. Wipe down your shopping cart. Don't dig in your nose. There's no gold up there. I found that out as a kid. Let's stick to legitimate credentialed medical sources for advice. As far as rumors about Trump and the economy, I trust Bob can filter out the bullshit pretty well, so let's trust his judgment. Well, thank you, Lady B. We've already got folks whispering they smell smoke in a crowded theater. That's dangerous. Let's try to keep our shit as legit as we can. We got enough bullshit floating around as it is. And that's the God's honest truth. And, you know, disinformation, and you don't know where it's coming from. So, you know.
Try, when I get home, yeah. I'm going to, because I was looking for on Stanford's website, and I couldn't find anything.
And that's one of the primary ways that they disseminate this stuff, is by trying to give it an aura of reliability by citing something that has credibility, when in fact it's just utter bullshit.
Utter.
All right, so bullshit. Now I got to take one for the team. Fire up the televideo viewer, and see what kind of madness is going to come our way, courtesy of the viral vector in chief.
Well, I'm hoping, because tomorrow I have tickets to go see Hamilton. You know I'm going.
Tracy?
I know. I shouldn't go. I hate you people. I know. And then if I get, you know, if something happens, I'll get that. Really? I told your ass to stay home. Because Janda wasn't going anyway. And she's like, honey, she does not want me to go.
I'm with Jan. The history is sketchy. Music's awesome. Costumes, I suppose, and the acting and the singing and the dancing. But
I've seen it already.
Yeah. Is it worth your life?
No. I mean, okay? Because I guess I'm hoping for the best. But you're right. This really sucks.
Do what Dave did with his tickets for Viva Las Vegas weekend. Put them up on StubHub.
True. I mean, people who bought the tickets, are, you know, because I bought
stop
tickets,
telling
people
us
pay
not
me for them,
stop
so.
Telling us not to go to Hamilton, Bob.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, anyway, you guys take, you know, wash your hands, you know, wash your hands before you eat, wash your hands after you eat. I have packets of Clorox wipes that I bought, and I mean, I've had these, and so. And I have, you know, because now you can't find the shit in the store.
Nope.
And so it's bad. And we cannot. And here it is. This is what happens when you actually research shit. There's a Stanford University thing on Facebook that's claiming to be from Stanford, and it's not.
Exactly.
And that's on Mother Jones. So now when I get home, I will send this to, I will show this to my wife and to whoever sent that, you know, and say that it's false information.
Yeah.
So thank you
correcting
me.
It just kind of set off a couple of alarm bells in my head and made me think, you know,
Ding, ding, ding. This is where we listen to you. And this is, kid, what are you doing? And this is why... people need to contribute to your show. And on that note, Matthews's, was it a $10 challenge?
Yeah, it was Steve's Fuck That Guy Living Beyond Their Means challenge of $10. And so if somebody will come up with $10, you say you'll match that too?
Yeah.
Cool. So it'll be it's a not double but triple your money challenge.
Triple your money challenge.
Steve and Tracy's and fuck that guy. Steve and Tracy's fuck that maggot challenge.
Fuck that maggot light. because if he was a full-blown maggot, that conversation would have went a whole different kind of way. But then again, we are in California, and I am a black woman. So I think he might have thought better of getting stupid with me, too. That part. Because we, and there was a whole lot of people around, so that would not have had, that fortunately would not have had his back had it gotten, heated. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that part, too. So, anywho, I love you guys. Please contribute. For those who are listening to the podcast tonight, don't bob a couple of dollars because this information, Tracy almost had people thinking about what, and I was wrong. So, that's why we need Bob.
And you know the part that kind of set off made my spidey sense tingle? The part about swallow your snot.
I don't think I said that.
No, but it was in there in not so graphic terms.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know how the virus will die in the stomach acid?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Swallow your snot. Gotcha.
Now I get to go home and make chili thinking about that in my head. Thank you.
And I did it again. Just ruined dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. God, how do I do it?
Thank you. God damn it. You are so good at what you do. But anyway,
Tracy, you have a good night, dear.
You too, baby. I'll talk to you later.
All right, later. Bye now. And so we come to the end of the broadcast. Nitwit Nero will be speaking momentarily. At present, Anderson Cooper and Chris Hayes are still on screen at their respective networks. Thank you to everyone who jumped in on the fundraising this evening. Thank you to all of you who keep this program on the air. You are the only way it stays on the air. Thank you so very much. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, however you so choose to do. That you share your time with me is one of the greatest honors of my life. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Midweek Pinch Hit Utility Chat Room moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.